to our service of Holy Communion today. During the week, I must say, I was wondering whether Cork would have been moved to level 3 and we mightn't have been meeting in the church this morning. So we're thankful to God when we can, when we can still continue to meet together. Our theme today is the spiritual fruits that we're asked to produce for God's kingdom. And we begin with a prayer as we approach God in worship this morning. Glorious God, you pour so much blessing into our lives. If only we will look out for it. The sun that shines, the rain that falls, the air we breathe, the world around us, the people we love, and the people who love us. And that's just the beginning. Please help us to turn to you, respond to your love, open our hearts to you, and produce good, healthy fruit in our lives.
Amen.
I invite you to hum our first hymn. Might I please ask us to go to the last hymn instead of the first hymn? I have a reason you'll see later. From heaven you came, helpless babe, entered our world, your glory veiled. Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And the collect for today, the 17th Sunday after Trinity, as we collect our thoughts before the readings. Almighty God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. Teach us to offer ourselves to your service, that here we may have your peace, and in the world to come may see you face to face. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We listen to our first reading.
Testament reading is taken from Isaiah. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard than that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew chapter 21, beginning to read at verse 33. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other slaves more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to the other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and our Sustainer. For the last few weeks we've been looking at, not last Sunday, but for the last few weeks we've been looking at the Gospel of St. Matthew. Some weeks ago, I preached about, a couple of weeks ago, the King's demands. Jesus as King and King of Kings has the right to make demands on us. So we need to love him supremely and obey him unreservedly. Then we entered into the next chapter of Matthew, which could have been titled The Rejection of the King. And today we're at a point where Jesus tells us the third parable in a set, which grew out of the demand of the chief priests and the elders wanting to know and wanting Jesus to explain his authority for cleansing the temple. The first parable was about Jesus' authority being questioned by the chief priests and elders. Jesus asked them about John and his ministry, and they failed to answer because they were too busy counting the cost of any answer they might give to him. But the truth was that the chief priests, the religious rulers, permitted Herod to arrest John and kill him, because they didn't agree with what he was saying. They wanted rid of him. They rejected John. And then we read the second parable, which was about the two sons, in which they rejected the father. And today's parable of the tenants, in which they reject the son. So we still find ourselves in a vineyard. This parable is based on the first reading we heard Heather read for us from Isaiah. In it, Jesus reminds the Jews of God's goodness to them as a nation. God delivered them from Egypt and planted them in a land that was flowing with milk and honey. He gave them material and spiritual blessings and asked only that they bear fruit for his glory. God does everything possible for our spiritual growth and our well-being. But still, we can choose, like the tenants, hostility, resentment, and rejection. All the farmers and the gardeners in the church this morning can feel in good company, because one of the most often used pictures of God in the Bible is that of a farmer or as a gardener. In Isaiah, God is imagined as a gardener planting the vines in the vineyard, digging the ground, getting it all ready, planting carefully, weeding, watering, supporting the branches, pruning when needed, and really caring for the vine so that it would produce a wonderful crop of juicy grapes. Of course, farmers and gardeners are always caring for what they grow, looking after, protecting it from the elements, protecting their plants from slugs and green fly as well, anything that would attack it. And we can imagine God caring for us in that careful way, but even more so for his people, caring for them because he desperately wants to protect them from the evil and the sin in the world about them. But as we heard read, when the gardener comes to pick his crop of delicious grapes that he had grown so carefully, he finds they are not delicious and sweet. They are bad and sour. And he's so downhearted, he takes down the hedge and the walls, and it ends up overgrown and wild. When Jesus told this parable to the tenants, of the tenants to the religious leaders, he was reminding them of what God had done for their nation and challenging them what they had done and what they were doing. From time to time, God had sent his servants, the prophets, to the people to receive the fruit. But the people mistreated some of the servants and even killed some of them. What should the landowner do? Jesus asked. God could have sent his armies to destroy the wicked men, but instead he sent his son to them. And the reference, of course, is to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the heir. And that shows us and reflects the words of Hebrews chapter 1. He is the heir. And instead of honouring the Son, the men threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. A picture of what we also read in Hebrews 13, which says Jesus was crucified outside the city gate, rejected by his own nation. And the people listening to Jesus, listening to the parable, were caught up in the drama of it all, and they didn't realize that they passed sentence on themselves in their answer to him. They said, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him produce at harvest time." And then Jesus quoted Psalm 18, "The stone rejected by the builders has now become the capstone of the arch," to explain that he was the Son and that the religious leaders were indeed the tenants. Often in the Old Testament, God is referred to as the rock or the stone. The stone is also a messianic title. To Israel, Jesus was a stumbling stone or a stumbling block. Israel rejected the Messiah, but in his death and in his resurrection, he created the church. To the church, Jesus is the foundation stone. He is the capstone. Of course, the Jewish leaders knew the scriptures, and they knew what Jesus was implying. They were the builders who had rejected the stone. So what would the consequences be? Jesus tells them that the kingdom would be taken from Israel and be given to another nation who will produce fruit. And Jesus is referring to the church. So what kind of fruit does the gardener find in his church today? What good fruit does he find in each one of us today? Does what he finds in his church and in our world put a smile on his face, or does he find instead sour fruit? We all know that the kind of fruit in which God delights. He loves to find such fruits as love and joy and peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And may we grow a bumper crop of these fruits that will gladden the heart of God and bring blessing into and healing to those we love and know in our families, in our communities, in our places of work, the people that we meet each day. Blessed be God, day by day. Amen. And now let us pray together. And the response to the words, "Root your people," is firmly in your love. Let us pray trustfully to God, who has loved us into being and cherished us all our life. Loving God, guide your church into ways of spiritual beauty and gracious wisdom. May your word be spoken out with passion and heard with humility and joy. Sustain and feed us so that we bear fruit in abundance. Root your people firmly in your love. Loving God, may justice and righteousness flourish in all the communities represented here today, this country, this world. Bless those who work to right what is wrong and mediate where there is conflict. Raise up leaders who are happy to serve and protect them from power's corruption. And we especially pray for our government and leaders in these days, the HSE, Lord, in decisions they have to make for the good of our country and for us. Root your people firmly in your love. Loving God, we thank you for the nurturing we have received and pray for our children and young people as they grow, as they go to school, and at this time in the parish as they put their names forward for confirmation. Protect them from evil and strengthen them in the faith. May they continue to be yours forever. Root your people firmly in your love. Loving God, give comfort and healing to all who are in any kind of need, sorrow or pain. We think of those on our hearts at this time that need our prayers, especially in the health part of their lives. Lord, you wish and want wholeness for us all. We pray especially for Stuart and for others known to us. May they sense your reassuring presence and know that you are with them wherever their journey takes them. Root your people firmly in your love. Loving God, we thank you for those who have gone before us, died to this earthly life, and now see you face to face. And we remember Pauline, 10 years almost gone from us, and her family, and Dominic. We think of the Buttermers today, George and Isabel, as they remember Ben on his second anniversary. And we think of others who have lost loved ones, especially tragically. Even just listening to the news for the last few weeks, it's like someone has died on our roads almost every day. We pray for Helen's family who have lost a loved one, Toby, tragically this past week too. Lord, we bring all the hurt and the pain and the confusion before you, and we ask for your comfort and your peace. As we remember your mercy, we commit our loved ones to the safety of your keeping. Root your people firmly in your love. Loving God, we thank you for all the care and attention that you lavish on us. Make us worthy of our calling and continue your ongoing work in us to produce good fruit. And we bring our prayers together in the words, "Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ." And as we gather our prayers and praises, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And we enjoy a musical interlude now as I prepare to celebrate at the table.
Restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. body and blood of our Saviour Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, help us to know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the Son of Heaven forever praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest.
Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We remain in our one body, for we will share.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Jesus Christ is holy. Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. With bread from heaven, as you feed your people Israel. May we who have been inwardly nourished be ready to follow you all the days of our pilgrimage on earth until we come to your kingdom in heaven. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we join together in the thanksgiving prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And we sing together our closing hymn, which was our first hymn, For the Beauty of the Earth.
attention to a couple of announcements. Tomorrow night here in the church at 8 p.m. a Christmas fair planning meeting. It won't be a fair as we normally have, but I think it would be equally nice perhaps as a German-type market outside a fair. So anyone would be welcome to come tomorrow evening as we think towards that. In school, you might think of us on Friday. We're having our annual animal blessing, but we won't be able to bring our animals this year, sadly. But we will celebrate God's creation on Friday. And during the month of October, we'll be doing Bishop's Appeal, and we will have a visitor talking to us from Burundi later on in the month. So the blessing. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the